All right, this is Conscious Said for the Hip Hop Heads Only, Conscious or Crazy podcast. Hip hop, higher infinite power, healing our people, as always. Instead of rap, you know, versus rap, which is something different completely. It's just the music with no message, you know. But yeah, once again, to bring them back, you know what I'm saying, MC. Artists, hip-hop artists, hip-hop, I guess, you know, hip-hop, you know, inspirer, you know, hip-hop listener, hip-hop student. Gonna introduce yourself for the people. We're gonna get started.
Oh, yeah. I'm Sensical Sense, artist and a producer from, yeah, so that's me.
All right. So I guess for the people again, the type of sound of your music, the type of message or et cetera you like to get across, or how would you define yourself as an artist?
Well, for me, well, I'm leaning more on the message part. I am very skillful when it comes to rap. I don't do the generic, like what's in the radio right now. No. For me, it's all about the message, and the message that I generically put out in my music mostly is Pan-African nationalism. Basically, it's basically Pan-African revolution. A Pan-African revolutionary, theme, yeah. And so that's the theme that I explore in my music, basically, because that's the most important thing. That's what resonates in my heart. That's, to me, I feel like that's why I'm here, because I believe that I'm in a mission. The reason why I'm doing hip hop is because so that I can help my people. And when I say my people, I mean Black people all over the world, because, you know, that's the most important thing. So basically, my music is leaning more on the message part, and the message is Pan-African nationalism. I have some wordplay, some vocabulary, some nice flow, and some, I tend to be versatile because,
yeah,
I rap on a jazz beat. Like, I don't choose genres whenever I make music. I can even rap on a classical instrumental. Like, I don't care. So
basically, yeah, so Beethoven.
Yeah, like anything, because all music is Black music. Okay, yeah. So there's nothing like white music, or, you know, rock is white music, classical is white music. There's nothing like that. All music is Black music. It's just the way it is. So basically, yeah. So that's my sound, Pan-African nationalism, and leaning more on the message part, trying to raise awareness and trying to empower my people through hip hop. So that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, man. So I probably touched on it a little bit, but what inspires you, or what artists outside of hip hop, just music periods, like, what was your first, who's your first favorite artist this period, and what made you decide I can make music and I should make music, and it's something missing in the game that I will provide? What sparked your interest, and who sparked your interest? Outside of hip hop, or this period?
Well, I would say Kendrick. Okay. Outside of hip hop, it's basically James Brown. James Brown is my favorite musician, basically. Since I was a kid, I've always loved James Brown. And so James Brown is my favorite musician. Just that energy, that, you know, it's amazing how James Brown does it, you know, used to do music. But, well, I started writing poetry when I was in high school. I was watching a documentary, like one of the records that DJ Kool Herc first sampled was a James Brown, a James Brown record. So James Brown is actually one of the people who helped in pioneering hip hop. But anyway, 16 years old, I was a poet, you know, and I started before I put poetry into rhythm. I was writing poetry every single day. Like I had three, four books full of poetry. Mm. But then I was like, this isn't fun because, you know, I'm basically writing rhymes and I'm reciting them. It's not that interesting. So when I, and for me to put it in rhythm, people like Kendrick and Cole, who were really instrumental in my transition from poetry to rhythm, because that was when Paper Butterfly was out, and also For the Seal Drive was also out as well. So two albums, it made me really, really go deep into rap and transition from poetry to hip hop. So yeah, so that's how I joined hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorite groups, you know, Public Enemy. Ice Cube is one of my favorites. You know, just the impact of the Predator, Fear of a Black Planet album. But James Brown is definitely a pillar, even in hip hop, as you mentioned. He's sampled a lot. You know, I even, every blue moon on YouTube, like I run across, like, if like two artists met each other, like we had like a playlist I was rocking with and listening to was Common and Stevie, like Common meets Stevie, you know. So they had Common rapping over Stevie beats, you know. And also they had Marvin meets Mos Def, you know. They had Mos Def rapping over some Marvin beats. And, you know, Marvelous Marvin is one of my favorite Mos Def records. And Fake Bonanza is definitely two. And then, who else? Even Biggie. And that what ties into James Brown again. Biggie, he was rapping over some James Brown records. It was kind of dope. People should check those out on YouTube. It's definitely creative. Whoever put these playlists together, you know, organized the sound, because that's pretty dope. It's definitely dope. Coltrane is I feel like the energy and the message behind Coltrane Without Words is powerful. You know, hip hop, you know, jazz was the first hip hop, or was the hip hop of that time, you know. And you can definitely tell, you know, definitely I can say for sure, you know, Miles and Coltrane was definitely some MCs of the jazz era. They didn't have to rap, you know what I'm saying? They didn't need to. They had the instruments talking for them. It was kind of interesting. But who else? I guess who else outside of James Brown, like who else, like soul singers? Because it's a lot of soul singers, like Otis, Sam Cooke, you know, the list goes on with them. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's James Brown and Marvin. You know, when it comes to Marvin Gaye, that album,
Yeah, What's Going On?
Going on is, yo, it's always in my playlist. I mean, I just like it when musicians speak about what's happening in the society, especially in the Black society. But, you know, nowadays we are too complacent. I feel like we are too complacent. We're in our comfort zones. We don't care. Like, few people are doing it. You know, few people are speaking up, but it's a few. So for me, it's James Brown, Marvin, And also, I would put Miriam Makeba from South Africa, and I will also put Susanna Owiyo, who is a Kenyan musician, very, 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 very talented. Like, that woman has a voice of an angel. So yeah, so those four are my favorite musicians, basically.
Yeah.
Outside of hip hop. Yeah.
Yeah. So with your latest record, I guess touch on for the people the message you was getting across and the importance of that record for the people.
Well, the record is a already remixed from Beyonce's Lion King album.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a remix on already, because you know I like that Nigerian type of tempo, and also you know so like when I heard it I was like, yo, I have to write on this. So it took me what, 10 minutes to write the whole thing. One thing I say about like writing music is that don't you like, for me, when I'm writing hooks, I never rush when I'm writing hooks, because hooks have to come naturally. If it hasn't come naturally, give it time. Even give it 1 week, even 2 weeks if you can. Because if you rush, if you rush on writing hooks, it's going to be disastrous. Hooks are supposed to be like it's supposed to come naturally. You're not supposed to force it. Yeah. So for me, the hook didn't come, you know, with a snap of a finger. It took a week. So, but the verse was about 7 to 10 minutes. And what I'm talking about is basically global African unity and self-independence. We need to be independent. We need to be self-sufficient. We need to make sure that we can pool our resources together as Africans, so that we cannot, you know, rely on white people. Yeah, so because nowadays it's like we are the only people who don't seek power. You know, Asians are seeking power. Yeah. Europeans are seeking power. Africans are the only people who are comfortable being ruled, and it's just bad. Africans all over the world, in the continent and in the diaspora. So basically, that's the message: self-independence, and we need to rely on ourselves. So that's how we can. That's the true definition of Black power. Black power is all about self-sufficiency. Black power is all about African unity, global African unity. All this FBA, all these factions, we can never fight white supremacy when we are in small factions. White supremacy is global, it's global. And the only answer to fighting white supremacy is definitely global African unity, pan-African unity, full stop. There's nothing else, you know. So that's the message.
Exactly. Yeah. White supremacy for years and of course centuries. Yeah, it's been on a war tour. You know, Tribe Called Quest. You know, it's been on a world tour, and that's the problem. The dominance of it. You know, and people don't understand the labels and everything. Like Universal Music Group. You know, that owns Cash Money Records. So you know, all the money goes to them, and then Vindi owned Viacom. You know, this is stuff that Mos Def kind of touched on the rape over, you know. But yeah, none of these labels, and Sony, like Sony owns, you know, Bad Boys. So P. Diddy, he's a boss of Bad Boy, but he has a boss. And I'm saying they're called parent companies, you know what I'm saying? So we know what the parent is. So, you know, that's the son, you know, the son got a company and I'm the parent. Remember who's the parent in this relationship. So that's what all these labels got, you know, parent companies. And people don't realize that, like, you know, yeah, from Def Jam, you know, to et cetera, man. It's, list goes on, you know. Epic, Interscope, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, and so that's why I just keep on saying we need to come together. Ever since the pandemic started, I feel like we've always been on a decline. We've always been on a decline.
Yeah.
But ever since the pandemic, I saw the declension level, and it was very scary. And like now I can say we are in our worst state ever as Black people all over the world. We are in our worst state in terms of economic, political, and social organization. We are behind.
Right.
We have never been behind like the way we are right now in terms of organization, in terms of unity, in terms of seriousness. It's bad. It's just bad. Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I respect the people that are trying, you know, the independence route, you know, but yeah, like we should, you know what I'm saying? I talk about it a little bit and I experienced it, as you noticed, I did, because my Instagram went down, you know, I had to create a new account. Yeah, it happens. And the thing is, you know, it's going to keep happening into like, even people that got bigger platforms than me that stands on the same, you know, grounds we stand on the same message. For like their accounts is going to be at more stake than mine, you know, and we need to actually, you know what I'm saying? We have the knowledge. We always had the technology, you know, our people was always first at things, and technology strictly, even, you know, these phones, you know, the resources of these phones, the connection has always been, you know, Africa, you know, for all these phones and even computer, you know, etc. So we need to create our own app, you know, like Instagram. Yeah. People like, yeah, some people I know had 8 Instagram accounts, you know, yeah, they had to start over 8 times. It's like, nah, that's unnecessary. Let's start our own accounts, because, you know, Facebook and all that's connected. They own, you know, so many apps. It's all connected, and they can control the content, control the accounts and the users. They can shut down your account when they want. They just got to press a button and they shut you down, you know. They got all your information, yeah, too. Like, yeah, so we got to start our own app, you know, I feel. That, you know, and not crying about, hey, I lost another account. But, hey, if you started your own app, you know, and started our own social media for our people strictly, you know, or, you know, for our people strictly globally, maybe, you know, the message can never die down, the consistency, us growing with each other. And yeah, I feel like that needs to happen, you know, as soon as possible.
Yeah. And speaking about technology, we need to form our own blockchain in terms of cryptocurrency, because you see, Gaddafi, the late Gaddafi was trying to build a African currency, but now we can even take it further to a global African blockchain where we have our own coin. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just saying, we are so behind. Like, these are the things we're supposed to do. For example, like, if all the 54 states of Africa plus all of the African diaspora, if we all contribute, and if we all become serious in developing our own blockchain and our own cryptocurrency, we can even surpass Bitcoin. We can surpass, like, we can surpass Ethereum. And so it's like, think about that. I mean, like, listen, the person who invented the fast internet, the fastest computer, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be having Facebook, like we wouldn't be communicating through virtual. He was a Nigerian.
Exactly.
A Nigerian developed something that we are using right now all over the world. how did we fall from that to not even, you know, contributing to anything major when it comes to technology? There's a problem. There's a problem. And whenever I see anything that's trending, for example, the crate challenge. You remember when people were falling off crates? And I'm and that was so viral. Like, we are so distracted, we don't even know what these people are planning behind our backs.
And that's crazy thing. Yeah. The whole challenge started, you know, in my state, Ohio. It sparked in Ohio. It was crazy. Like, we were like, we're outside, you know. It's crazy. And like, the thing is, our people are so creative, and that was a creative, but if we controlled, you know, if we actually benefited off of that, you know, created streams of income, but, you know, controlled Instagram, TikTok, we don't control none of these apps, and, you know, people are pretty much making money off of us. That's why I did an episode called Are We Investors or the Investment? You know, pretty much us doing viral TikTok videos, that's a revenue for not us. It's a revenue for them. That's an investment for them. That's a smart investment for them. But this crypto thing, Shiba coin, that's been going crazy. But like you said, and I need to find out who to talk to create our own blockchain. This new movement, man, it's incredible. This crypto movement, it's our chance to definitely turn the table, you know, definitely flip the table, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, get things sparking for our people again. Yeah. And that's the mentality, you know, Marcus Garvey had, you know, with the ship, you know, the ships he was building, and the movement he was, and the information he was sparking, you know. Everything in the connection to America, you know, he had a mass of people, you know, he had a large number of people in America supporting him. But yeah.